Well, we've been in a series, a summer series, with a lot of thought and prayer that would have to do with how the world is shaping around us and how it's affecting our lives and what does it mean to stand strong and not let the wave of pressure and influence kind of just take it on its tide, you know, so to speak. To be squeezed into his mold, as one text says. And we've talked about a lot of different things and very big subjects. Some of them could have just been the whole series. I mean, we talked about the issue of same sex. We talked about self-sufficiency in our world. We talked about whatever happened to sin, addiction, shame, loss of security, compromise. Those have been topics that we've addressed this summer that are pressing in on us, and it feels like many of us sense we're in a battle, and the idea around us is that we can be afraid. Fear can kind of press in on us. Well, as I wrap up the series, it's not hard to just kind of take a lot of these themes that are a part of our world and condense them down to one Sunday and say, what would God want us to do in response to an uncertain world with a lot of challenges and influences around us? It doesn't take much to see what's going on. Just look at, like, the newspaper or Time Magazine. Time Magazine, just four main articles in Time Magazine this week. How the Ferguson curfew turned to chaos. Earlier in the week, they said tensions had cooled, but now the headlines changed. Or Robin Williams was in the early stages of Parkinson's disease. The Iraqi prime minister steps down in the midst of unabated terrorism. And Russians pay the price for Putin's Ukraine adventure. And that's been an ongoing story. And I haven't even mentioned Ebola or the Hamas. I haven't said anything about the double hurricane in Hawaii or the soaring sales of marijuana in Colorado or Hillary running for president. Oh, I'm a little ahead of myself on that one, sorry. That isn't in the headlines yet. But anyway, on a macro level, in our world, we can feel it all around us. And I have conversations almost every week about, Pastor, the world is scary. It's really wigging me out. Everything's changing. What I thought was stable is no longer stable anymore. I have these conversations and the idea. And I read this interesting thing about watching the nightly news. There was proposed a disclaimer before you watch the nightly news. Caution. This news report is best viewed in the confines of an underground vault in Iceland. so you just don't know what's going to happen next. And so you have this macro level of tension and uncertainty, and it's scary at times. Then you also have the dynamics of, on a micro level, of your own life, of the things you're dealing with every day, and you have the struggles with money or skin moles, or there's marriage or paramedics or the mistress or time management or mother-in-laws. You got, on a micro level, you've got stuff happening in your life, and I know it because you asked me to pray about it. It's the stuff on our prayer requests most often. And so we can identify with a message dedicated to the fear in our world and the unexpected nature of our world and all that. I went to Mount Angel a week ago Wednesday to just have some time away. I chose to ride my bicycle out there. I was excited about it. Well, it's about an hour out there, and then I had several hours to study. I had my backpack with me, and I traveled light as possible. Then I headed back home in the afternoon, and I headed on one particular road. It was a little bit bumpy on the shoulder, and so I kind of cheated over into where the tire smooths out the road over time. And this is common because there's not a lot of cars out there, and I can usually hear them coming. They don't usually want to push me off the road. But anyway, I'm going down this, and I noticed, I'm not very observant, or I don't know why, but the road's a little darker in this area. And I'm going along, and I have to go up a little incline. And as I go, I push a little harder on the pedal. And all of a sudden, in a moment's time, I mean, before I could anything, I'm on the ground. My front tire went like this, and I went boom, and chish, right down on the ground. And I was like, where am I? It was shocking. I was shaking, and I was wondering, am I intact? Can I even get up? People my age are not supposed to do this. And I felt this, and I had scrapes here, and I think I'm okay. I'm shaking, and I'm getting over to the side and everything, and I know I've got a problem, but I don't know what else to do but get back on the bike. I got 10 miles to go. And I get home, and I clean up, and I got a big old problem on my leg here, and it only gets worse day after day, and now I've got a bruise the size of Texas. So it's things happen in life just so quickly, and boom, life changes, and it could be really a big change. For me, wasn't a big change at all. I'm doing fine. I'm going to ride again today. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to go for it. I hope I can be an example in a simple way in that way, because I think that the things that are pressing in on us are making us want to run and hide. And I don't think that's what God wants. So what do we do when the trends are pressing in, pushing, affecting our lives, both the pressures of this world and in our own personal lives? What do we need? Well, you know that the timeless word of God speaks to these issues so clearly, and you'll see how the psalmist in Psalm 46 gives clear direction, hopeful teaching, and the certainty of what you can count on no matter what. Let's look at it. Psalm 46. Many of you know Psalm 46, and you appreciate it already. Some of you, this will be a remembrance, but a new, good kind of connection to God's Word. Others of you maybe haven't heard this before. Verse 1 goes like this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty, verse 7, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. After contemplating this psalm, a man named Martin Luther wrote a hymn. You know the hymn, at least a sense of the hymn. A mighty fortress is our God. And person after person has read Psalm 46 with a reflective kind of personal, what does this mean to me? And they have been inspired. And I hope that's still true today for you. The teaching is very helpful, very relevant, and it will fit for just what I've been saying. It begins this way. It admits that on the horizontal level of life, things are changing all the time. Things are changing all the time. The world around us is changing. He admits that right in the very beginning. After giving a presentation, he talks about the earth giving way. Verse 2, though the earth give way. And when he says give way, he in other translations, says the earth, the word remove or change. this idea that things are unpredictable, the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and so on. Those two verses identify the unchanging aspect of nature, and it can kind of move towards earthquakes or volcanoes. In our world, we got fires and floods and hurricanes, all those kind of things, and it's connected to that. Geologists tell us that the continents are actually afloat, continuing to be built and changed by moving plates, active, unpredictable nature. And you know that. You just listen to the weather report and the unexpected drama. You're probably drawn to listen to the weather because you're wondering what's going to happen next. And I have to admit to you, I've lived in Oregon long enough to say this, that our weather is actually very boring compared to most of the world, at least where I grew up. And then these mountains move into the sea, and the sea roars and foams. All this connection to nature and the world we live in. But it doesn't stop there. As scary as sometimes the weather can be, and the aspects of our world, and that we're just waiting for an earthquake to happen around here kind of thing, we have verse 6. And in verse 6, it says that nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. And with that statement, there's so much that is said about the tension in our world, the sense of division in our world, the lack of security. The word uproar in nations are in uproar is the word raging. Rage. The nations rage. And rage has to do with anger and animosity. And I'm right and you're wrong. And you're going to do it my way. I just read the book Bonhoeffer in 2011. It was the number one Christian book voted by, whatever organization says those kind of things. And Bonhoeffer is a very interesting read. Long book. Very great. And wow. Nations rage. Just read that book. Rageful people with ungodly evil intent alive and well in our world. And so here the author, writing 3,000 years ago, is tracking with something that still we're facing it and we're feeling it. And so we have change all around us. I was thinking about change in the church, alone in the church. Remember a few years ago, no movies, no rock and roll, okay? And stuff like that. No dancing. And I was just at a wedding, a Christian wedding last night, and they weren't abiding by any of those anymore. And then you have this tension, and in our day of the reality, it's still race and gender and war and abortion and capital punishment and political correctness and all this kind of stuff. And it just made me recall that when I was in high school, I was really cool. You know why? Because I had bell bottoms and I had a wide collar. Went really down here and I'd unbutton my shirt down a ways, you know. Big old collar, and I was really cool then. I wouldn't be caught dead in that stuff now. So, things are always changing around us. I remember thinking that I was in love with a girl when I was 19. But I never thought that we would move in together. It just was, and I wasn't a Christian at age 19, but it just was never on my radar. I never thought, oh, if we fall in love, we're just going to move in together. Not even a possibility. And yet now it's the norm. So we know that on a horizontal level, things are changing, and we feel like they're at a frenetic pace. And it's really one of the things that we talk about most. In fact, I was thinking about this. Things feel so crazy in our world that many people feel that their best choice is to take their life. And thousands of people do it every day. I want to tell you that if you build your life solely on the horizontal plane, you are balancing on shifting sand. And that's what the author's getting at. And I want you to know that. Anytime you're basing your sense of security on the the what seems to be a lull in the storm in our world, you are standing on shifting sand. So stop trying to find your security in this life. Doesn't work. The psalmist says there's another dimension, and it's his main point. And what he talks about the most, it's called the vertical. I'm thinking of it that way. You understand. Pointing up. And it's unchanging. The vertical, the point of the psalmist, is that there is an unchanging God. And that's what's woven into here. He says in this changing world, there is, so to speak, a rock. He uses the word fortress or stronghold. That's the kind of idea, the kind of stability that portrays, the meaning of it. And this unchanging stability of God and his posture towards us is wrapped up in two words, refuge and fortress. Refuge and fortress. And it's amazing the author would just pick these two words because they kind of encompass the fullness of God. Now, think of it this way. All change is either direct in the direction of better or worse. All change is in the direction of better or worse. And since God is already perfect, there is nowhere for him to change to. So you know that. Rivet that, the unchanging character of God. And now the author says, knowing that, being certain about that and sure of that, we have this marvelous fullness in God that he is both soft and strong at the same time. He can be both small and big at the same time. And that's what he's getting at when he talks about refuge and fortress. Refuge, soft, is the word shelter. And the idea of a shelter is to be able to find closeness or safety, huddled in, connected to, cared for by God. And then fortress is really on the strong side. It really is the word high place, a fortress, a high place, and it refers to protection and resilience. That's our God. And I want you to know this. I love this about God. He is absolutely both at the same time. And it will always be that way. You can count on it for all eternity. That's who God is. Now, there was a man, he was going through lots of stress in his life, difficulty, especially at work. And he would look forward to going home because he had a happy marriage. It was the highlight of his day to head home and to return to be in the place of love and joy where really all the rest of his life he could find a strength to cope, quite honestly, because in his outside world there was difficulty and heaviness. Now, if somehow his marriage soured, then it would be up for grabs. In fact, his outside world might cave in such a way because he had lost his refuge. You see, the happy home in his life was his refuge. Refuge is what sustained him. He would regroup at home. He'd be replenished. He knew that he was loved at home. And isn't it marvelous to know that your refuge with the living God in connection to him is always sure. It will never sour. There's no uncertainty about it. It's not a human kind of dynamic. It is a consistent God that you can find replenishment, strength, sustaining you in whatever life has to offer. Because our God is unchanging. So, in Psalm 46... we have this highlight, a characteristic of God that to try to describe how he is. Verse 4 says, there is a river. The unchanging influence and character of God is that he is a river. And the word, the verse, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The city of God is sometimes associated with Jerusalem, and people will identify with that. But the way that the psalmist is using it is the place where God's people are. The place, and it actually could be, many have said this can transition into the New Testament. There is a river whose streams make glad the church of God, or the people of God, or the gathering of God, or his followers. And this river is his presence. That's the idea, his presence. The picture of a river is like the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And he makes glad in the midst of all this. How can you be glad when mountains are falling into the sea and nations are in rage? No, he's the one that makes you glad. He's the one that sustains your life. It's right there. And then the way the ESV puts it in verse 5, the English Standard Version, I just like this because it's in the feminine, and that's the way the church is. The church is a feminine noun. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her. And you can think of the church being the way. And look at verse 1, it says, an ever-present help in trouble. And God is holding us steadfast. This is the promise. Everything changing around, on the move, uncertainty all around us. God is steadfast, immovable. And the key through this whole psalm is God's presence. That he will never leave you or forsake you. He's always there. In verse 1, our refuge goes to verse 5. God is within her. In verse 7, the Almighty God is with us. Verse 11, the Almighty God, again, the same sentence. To make sure we got it, the repeat is often like establishing that be certain of this. God is strong and he's always with us. There's a young boy, he was connected to some botanists in the Himalayas. And they were trying to bribe this young boy because they were looking for this very rare flower. And they found it. And it was over a cliff. And they were talking to the boy. They were trying to convince him that they would lower him over the cliff and that he could get that plant for them. And they would put a rope around his leg and so on. And the boy said, just wait a minute. And he ran away. And they thought that, we didn't, that's not going to work. And a little bit later, he came back with an old man. And they said, if my father always holds on to the rope, I'll do it for you. Our unchanging Father God never lets go. Never. Let's go. And so, this psalm is fantastic, but it comes to a place that's really, it's really such an important spot in the psalm. And it's the most misunderstood part of the psalm. And what does it mean, kind of, part of the psalm? In verse 8, it says, come and see what the Lord has done, and then the desolations he has brought on the earth. And there's some identifications of God's intervention and what that looks like. And then it talks about what he will do and how he is, and all the way through verse 10. And as I studied that and I thought about that and I looked at what other people thought about that and everything, here's the idea that came to mind. And I wanted to pull it into the New Testament. And whether I've been totally accurate in doing so, I love this thought. I love this thought. The horizontal. Probably should have said vertical first, actually, but no matter. Horizontal meets vertical. That's what verses 8 to 10 are about. Horizontal meets vertical. And I said the cross. I love that, and I'll tell you why. Because the message of verses 8, 9, and 10 are about God's his connection, his movement into, his desire to bring to bear on this earth his influence. The vertical meets the horizontal. And we know from the New Testament that God met us through his son Jesus, and that he came to us. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. My son Trevor has had a personal experience of rains crashing and streams rising, and he's going to share with you about it. So that we could have relationship with God. And Jesus was desolated for us, honestly. That judgment came before peace. And that's what verse 8 says. Judgment comes before peace. And so we have the Old Testament picture of the flood. Judgment before peace. Or even God's judgment and punishment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Desolation. That's the idea. And it says here that God would bring desolation. Well, he brought desolation on his one and only son. The wrath of God rested on his one and only son on the cross, so that we could have access to the living God. And he would take our punishment upon him. But one day, as is suggested in this, as it reads, I will be exalted in verse 10. One day, there will be desolation, judgment on the earth from the living God. And at that time, wars will absolutely cease. The greatest war will end all wars at that time. And so you have verse 8. I want you to makes wars cease and the weapons that they used shattered. It's the idea of, even in Isaiah, he says that he will take these weapons of warfare and make them into tools of agriculture. And you have that in Isaiah 2:4 and so on. And then you have Philippians, the idea in Philippians 2:9, Philippians 2:9, therefore, about Jesus, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The anticipation of that will happen, that'll be true, that Jesus will reign. Here it is. One day, God will be exalted in the earth. He says it, verse 10. And Christ will reign forever and ever. The picture, one commentary put, is it's like the team lifting up the coach after the victory, lifting it up the coach and carrying him off the field, and the praise of the fans. Our Lord will be lifted high, and both creation and history will bow to his sovereign will and give him glory forever and ever and ever. And so, as much as we are in a place of turmoil and we are in the thank Christ for coming, but we have not yet lived in his total reign, one day we will. One day we will. And that's what sustains us. And that is absolutely sure. Hang on to that in the most difficult times, because our God is one that interfaces with this world and helps his people and promises through Christ that he's coming again. And so in the meantime, I absolutely think this is so important. And this is, no matter what you read on the news, whatever new disease is coming on the land, okay? Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. And how will that be so? Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And this truth is timeless. And if you let this in and apply it to your life, you will absolutely be strong. Will the worship team come?
We're good. For those of you who know me pretty well personally, this summer I took an internship with a certain company, and I was pretty excited about it at the beginning. In fact, I was so excited that I kept telling everybody, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this much money, it's going to change the rest of my life, that's how this internship works. Then I told my parents, yeah, I'm going to do door-to-door sales for 80 hours a week. And they were like, cool. Anyway, I had a lot of ambitions. I was really excited, and I was ready to go. There was nothing that was going to hold me back. There was nothing that was going to bring me down, because I was going to be above it. And I remember in sales school, we had a week of sales school before we went out in Tennessee. And I remember them saying stuff like, you're going to do less good than you think you are, and it's going to be a lot harder than you think it is. And I was like, that's for all those other people over there, not me. And I think about 5 hours in on my first day, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. This is terrible. I wasn't making hourly wage. I wasn't selling any. Well, I was selling educational books, and nobody really cares. So I was just having a lot of issues, so many issues. And I remember something around my fourth day, I decided, I was like, I'm going to bring my Bible, and anytime I feel like shooting something or leaving, I'm going to read it. And that's much more productive. And so I came upon Psalm 3, actually. I was reading through the Psalms every morning, and I reread this, and it says, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. And I remember I just tried to focus on that all day, just like, you are my glory. Because all these people, I knock on their door, and they're like, you're selling books? That sucks. And like, well, you're out here, and I was in Wisconsin, yet you're a Vikings fan? This is terrible for you. And all these different things. And I just remember, you know, being... It was just so difficult, and there was not a single day or really moment that went by where I didn't want to leave, and I just knew that there was something that was for it. And this next song talks about how God is my refuge and strength, and he's there with me always. And I remember just having the hardest time originally being able to focus on that. When I was so focused on me, it was impossible to see God around me. But when I let myself go, I kind of noticed God was there always, and that even though it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life, that I was really, he was there with me, and his presence was guiding me, and I grew a lot from the experience. And because of that, I made it a lot longer than I would have, didn't make it as long as I wanted to, and I didn't make as much money as I was hoping, but it was an invaluable experience for me, and I can only thank God for that.
For our prayer time this morning, instead of having a human connection, which is really great, I wanted to invite you to have a vertical connection to the living God. And there might be things that you're facing in your life that have the power at times to make you afraid. And I want to be with you together in these closing moments, to let that go into the capable hands of our God, who is refuge and fortress and unchanging. And I'm praying that the Spirit of God will minister to you even as you acknowledge that. And so you don't have to keep your hand raised, but if today there's something in your life, and you're looking up, and you're reminded about the truth of who God is, and as just a final release in this service, I'm going to pray for you in a minute. I'm going to pray with you in a minute. But if you can just lift your hand up and then put it down. Just lift your hand up. You're not, look up. Don't look down, look up. This is yours, God. You are capable. No obstacle, no challenge too great for you. So, Father, be God in these situations. Every one of my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, raising their hand and acknowledging their need for you. In the diversity of those needs, there's one common reality: you and your strength and your goodness and your grace and your intervention. And I pray, Lord, as they lift it up, you'll give them peace in the storm, strength when they feel weak. Fill emptiness with your gladness. May your river flow in our souls in new ways. And we pray for this turbulent world we live in, oh God, and you know every detail. You're everywhere at once. And we're concerned for the challenges in Ferguson, Missouri. And we're heavy-hearted for Christians in Iraq. And we're concerned about the turmoil and the power pushes of Russia. And we're wondering about this disease that is taking lives. And we turn to you and we pray for your intervention. God, that you would make war cease and that you would break the bow and shatter the spear. And you would be exalted even now. We know you will one day, but even now, you'll be exalted in new ways. We pray it to be so. Thank you for this holy moment where we can just release these to you, because we're your people. We want to live well for you. There's so much you have for us to do. Let us be unburdened and free so we can build your kingdom. We can be empowered by you. Thank you, God, for today. We pray our prayers in the name of Christ.